You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armorall, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armorall products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at Armorall.com. Armorall, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Humans of Speedway, and something a little bit different. It's a first, because throughout this series we've always covered what you would call regular Speedway. We've had various people involved in that, but this one is a little bit different because we're looking just a little bit at the future and electric Speedway.
Welcome back to the channel, guys, and on this week's episode we're going electric and we're flying to Denmark.
Oh my God, look at that! Look at that!
Now, I know for the purists, and even those that are not purists, you're going to say it's not the same, right? Find out why electric Speedway is nothing to be feared and why it is not coming to take away the Speedway that you know and love. We're going to explain what it's all about and where its benefits are very, very soon, okay? So do not fear. This is hopefully going to set your mind at rest about electric Speedway bikes. And there is an event coming up at the time of releasing this in the first weekend in March in Scunthorpe that you can maybe go along to and decide for yourself. But more about that to come. We'll also hear from Seth Norman. And we're going to chat to Paul as well because he's got lots to say. He's one of the faces of the presentation team of BSN, the British Speedway Network. He's been a rider with the Bellevue Colts in the National League, and he owns a pie business, and who doesn't want to befriend the pie man, you know? So gives me great pleasure to welcome somebody I've spent a lot of time with over the last year, and hopefully you're going to like what he's got to say. He is Paul Bowen. Welcome, Paul.
How you doing, Ian? You all right?
Good, thank you. Yeah, and great to have you on. Thanks for joining us. We've got lots to talk about. But you're a very busy guy, Paul. You've got lots going on. Myself and Paul first met working for BSN last season, of course, and Paul's been one of the pits reporters, one of the interviewers on BSN over the last season. You're also a rider, Speedway rider. You've ridden for the Bellevue Colts in the past. You also do a bit of motocross. You also do various blogs. You're now involved in electric speedways we're about to talk about. You've been on First Dates. You've got the pie business as well with your family. So you're a very, very busy guy.
No, Ian, I've got my hands in, the word is, you know, fingers in many pies. And I certainly have many fingers in many pies at the moment. Keeping quite a busy boy. Absolutely love it.
You have a lot of, you know, pastimes. We mentioned doing like video blogs, vlogs, as you might call them, and also Speedway involvement in different ways as well. But then you have got the main job of yours, which is quite an involved one and involved in the family pie business. But that's the reality for many Speedway riders, isn't it? Not everybody's Bartosz Szmarszlik or the top level guys who have got mechanics and drivers and staff, you know, helping them out on things. For many Speedway riders, they are holding down a full-time job or a fairly flexible job, whatever it might be, in the background, in addition to doing the bikes, in addition to doing the meetings. So it is a full-on life.
The National League is, you know, obviously an amateur to professional league. It's the starting base. And it is, you know, you do tend to put more money in than what comes out of it. So obviously for me, I have a business at the Bowen Pies, which, you know, I've had for quite a few years now with my dad. And to be honest, it's a great little business. So I'd have to be somewhat of a number one in a premiership to even consider being a full-time speedway rider. But I know obviously there's a lot of lad in the National League set up that, you know, you do have to work as a full-time job and race speedway.
And one of those other things you've been doing, of course, is your involvement in BSN as well. So a lot of people who watched BSN's coverage last season will know of you. And of course, if they're subscribers to it for 2023, you can already watch all of the 2022 season on there already now. So you can swat up and see Paul in action in some of the meetings as well. So how's that been for you? You're no stranger to appearing in front of cameras because you do your videos and stuff for YouTube with your various adventures anyway. But doing it live in front of an audience, you know, and that side of it is something probably a little bit different, I imagine.
Yeah, I absolutely love. I've absolutely loved my time on the BSN, and it's been fantastic. Like I said, I'm a bit of an out there character, so it's quite funny. Out of going back to sort of the comments, I'd say get the most comments out of the team, but half of them would be like, "Get him off the telly," and then the other half would be like, "He's really funny. We really enjoyed it." So I love playing that sort of character that, you know, some people might not necessarily like me, but they tune in to critique me maybe, or, you know, what we might say this week, or sometimes I do say things that have got me in trouble and have got the BSN in trouble. But I think it just, you know, I hope I make good TV because that's what I want to do. I want to entertain people at home and I hope that's what I do.
I think you've achieved that, and you've been singled out by Phil Lanning in the Speedway Star as being the star of the show, or one of them. And so that's got to be good. And like you say, you can't please all the people all the time, but I don't think anybody could ever accuse you of not being entertaining. They might not like it, but I think entertaining. But it's been a real sort of progression over the year. Everybody who's been involved in that have grown together through the service, so it shall be a year old come the start of April from the first meeting that we did, and it's back there again at Berwick in April this year, just I think a day shy of a year since it all started. So how far things have come, and all run by people who are Speedway fans at heart as well, and I think that's possibly what, you know, makes it different and sets it apart.
Yeah, like you said, you know, it's great to be part of a team that everybody in that team loves Speedway, and we do it for Speedway. And like you said, it's great. I don't think you have any streaming service that's like what we have, where the quality of what we produce is produced by people that were basically all fans of the sport, and giving hopefully the fans at home probably the best show in the house. And it's something that, like I said, we all enjoy. I enjoy doing all the other things, and like I said, Ian, I even tried the commentary with you, and fair play, Ian, it's a lot harder than what I thought it would be. The racing happens so quick, so that was an interesting night to say the least. But I think everybody does a fantastic job. You know, we've got like Hayley that's so factual. She sucks in information like a sponge. I'll often leave her to the next results or the statistics or anything like that. You'll see Hayley just reel them off and I'll just stand there and smile. So we've got such a good team. We've got obviously, you know, for people that are north of the border, we've got Greg. For people south of the border, we might need subtitles. Greg's fantastic in what he does. And Adam really this year has come into his own with you, Ian, as a great co-commenter. And then obviously not forgetting, like I said, we've got Martin and Ben, that the leaders of BSN that have really progressed. You'll agree, Ian, as well, from the start to the end of the season, the difference that those guys put in was absolutely phenomenal. You could literally see the difference in the quality and the camera work. They put all their money into this project. And as a business owner myself, I really do have a lot of respect for what they've done. So, yeah, I love being part of the team, and I'm sure you do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely love it and can't wait for the season to begin. And some big advancements as well, some upgrades in both the equipment and how things are going to look this year in 2023 as well. So get your BSN passes for the Premiership-based coverage or the Championship stuff, and it'll all be there. And we're underway before we know it, not long to go now. So find out about that. Watch.britishspeedway.co.uk. There's the shameless plug out of the way. So, Paul, Speedway for you then. What's your background in Speedway? How did you sort of end up getting involved in the sport? Because I know you're a big fan of bikes, but was Speedway the first love?
I think it was obviously from being with my dad. My dad was into bikes. My dad was actually into grass track. And I actually started my first sort of biking into grass track. Always loved motorbikes, always made the noise, rode around, and I've just, anything two wheels, I just have a massive passion for, whether it be, like you said, mountain biking. I was there in Scotland at the weekend, or I'll do motocross. Speedway is relatively new to me. I did it, started it about 8 years, 9 years ago now, which is actually quite a long time. But, you know, it's just another sport that I absolutely love. In fact, out of all the bike sports, it's probably one of the biggest that I've got a passion for.
And it's what they say about Speedway, isn't it? If you go more than a few times, you're in and you're hooked and there's no escape. And we'll talk more about your times in traditional Speedway, as we'll call it, in the next part. But right now, I'm just going to talk about electric Speedway, because you've got this event coming up at Scunthorpe on the 5th of March, which is not far away at the time of releasing this. Now, when you post on your Facebook pages or whatever, Paul, about electric Speedway, the purists are very much like, no, not for me. It's not proper Speedway. There's no noise. There's no smell. It can't be Speedway. But these are Speedway bikes, but they're just powered by electricity. That's the main difference. And it's not coming for the 500cc's. This is more about for the kids. And this is where it's aimed at the youth to learn Speedway and practice and all that kind of stuff. But how did you get involved in the electric scene? Because you're quite big in it now in this country, and you're probably leading the electric charge, to coin a pun. But how did you get involved in electric Speedway?
So basically, like you touched on it before, I do a bit of YouTubing. And like I said, I've done a few little videos, and I just saw the electric Speedway bike come out in Denmark. That I know they've been doing it for a while. And I thought, what a great little YouTube video this will make. Got in touch with the guys. I'm interested in electric bikes anyway. So I went over, because I'm just, like I said, I'm just into bikes. So I sent them a message, you know, could I come over, have a go, film it, you know, good, bad, anything in between. Any chance of just a little ride? And they were like, yeah, Paul, come on over. Very inviting. They did tell me that the bike is for youth. It's not an adult bike. But, you know, happy to come over and have a little go. Went over and I just kind of fell in love with the passion that these guys have got for the electric bike. It is, what they've done is absolutely fantastic. The bike rides really well for a youth bike. And I'm not saying I've seen the future, but I think it was just a real eye-opener, and I think it's potentially what the future of Speedway could look like. So I thought, yeah, I'm getting involved in this.
All right, well, here's a little clip from your YouTube video. If people search Paul Bowen Speedway on YouTube, you'll find it, the electric Speedway video. It's about 20 minutes long, but here's just a little snapshot of your first experience on an electric Speedway bike.
I'll tell you what, though, it's got some power. Not the 500, they said it wouldn't be the 500, but it has got some power. I think it's got a clutch, this. Has it got a clutch? Yeah, so that, full throttle, clutch. Oh my God, look at that! Look at that! We're flat out here! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! This is fun! That's awesome! This is cool! Okay? I don't
care that it doesn't make a noise?
People can actually see it for themselves. Face your fears. At Scunthorpe Speedway on Sunday, you are having, well, really the first races involving electric bikes in this country. But also you've got regular bikes on there as well, the 125s. And they're going to be racing against each other side by side. You can see the comparison or what?
Yeah, so this weekend, the 5th, is going to be a completely new experience for Speedway, for the youth side. Like I said, these bikes are aimed at the youth, so 125cc, 150. And it's going to be the first time, I don't think it's happened in any other motorsport, where it's actually going to be electric side-by-side against sort of what is now a petrol engine. Obviously, the 500's the methanol, but the petrol engines are 125cc. So they're going to go out together, and we're going to have a really good experience of how both bikes perform against each other. And it's going to be a really interesting experience to watch, because you're going to have one bike that makes noise and one bike that doesn't. We've got some good riders coming over to have a go. So we've got a young Olivia Reynolds, who, if you're not aware, she's been to America. She's done a backflip on a 65cc motocross bike. She hangs around with Travis Pastrana, who's a fantastic athlete in America. And yeah, we've got a young Seth Norman as well, who's come second last year in the 125s in the British Youth. So it's, again, another good rider. It's going to be really interesting to see how he manages the flip from his petrol bike to an electric bike, whether he rides it the same, faster, slower. So it's going to be really interesting to sort of see how he gets on with it. Whereas Olivia, she's never had a go on a Speedway bike whatsoever, so it's all brand new for her. But she is a very good motocross rider. She's recently won the Arena Cross Championship. That's the indoor motocross championship that's been going on around the UK. So, you know, we've got a really good girl that could turn some heads. And obviously we've got young Seth there as well, that I think he's going to really turn some heads, and it's going to be an absolutely really interesting meeting. And I hope everyone can come down and check it out.
And I think you've got Richie Worrell there as well, and I think he's sort of offering some advice to some of the young riders. But it'll be interesting to get someone like his opinion of watching it.
Yeah, so on Saturday, on the 4th, I'm actually doing a sort of test day. This is a trial day, so I put it out there for young motocrossers. I'm doing it completely off my own back, so it's all free. I've spoke to Rob Godfrey. Hopefully he'll sort me out a really good deal, because he knows I'm doing it for free. So hi, Rob. And he's going to lend me the kit as well. So on the Saturday, we're going to invite quite a few people down to come and ride the bikes. I've got Richie Worrell coming down to help sort of these young lads and girls, and get them interested into Speedway, get them learning the right techniques. Richie is a fantastic teacher, actually, for Speedway. He's helped me a few times at Bellevue. And it's great that someone like him is on board. I've got Aaron Spud Summers coming as well. He's going to come down and help the kids out. And hopefully, like I say, they're going to come on Sunday as well and just kind of help out, really, and just show the techniques and everything like that, because it's exactly the same technique as riding one of these bikes as it will be a normal bike. So it's going to be really interesting for especially a professional like Richie Worrell to see what they think about the bikes.
Do you think Richie's going to get on and have a go?
I think he'd be tempted to have a go, yeah. Yeah, and I think he'll be pleasant. I think anyone that jumps on one will be pleasantly surprised, which for me was the same. You know, you get on it and it is surreal, the fact that it doesn't make a noise, it doesn't vibrate, it doesn't sound like it wants to kill you. You know, you can hear the noise, such as the tyre folding, because there's no noise. You can actually hear the tyre on the ground. But once you do 3-4 laps, you actually forget and just concentrate on riding, and that's when it starts getting a bit interesting then, and that's when you start to think, actually, this bike, it could be something, it could be the future.
Well, let's tackle some of the big questions and the big fears that people have about electric speedway, because when you post it, say, on social media, people go, no, not for me, there's no noise, there's no smell. So that's the first question. What about the situation with no noise and no smell? What's that going to mean for speedway fans, other than, of course, no noise and no smell? I mean, you know, lots of other sports have no noise and no smell, apart from sweat, I suppose.
Yeah, so the racing should be exactly the same. You know, the noise or the smell is irrelevant to the actual racing. Having someone coming in, diving up the inside or going round the outside and getting really close to the wall, that is what gets people going. Now, as for the noise, would you as a crowd shout more? Because you know the riders can hear you. You only have to look at mountain bike races or cycling events, Tour de France. The noise and the atmosphere the crowd creates, because they know the riders can hear them and they're shouting and making noise, would it create the same kind of atmosphere at those events at, say, a speedway event?
On the subject of the noise, two sides to every coin, because the noise isn't always a good thing, right? Especially if you're a kid wanting to go out and practice. You know, you might have certain times where you can do that. You certainly can't do it at 3 o'clock in the morning. But with an electric speedway bike, little Johnny can go out there and practice 24/7, surely.
Exactly that, Ian. You know, I think, again, people, I'll reiterate that I am not a tree hugger. I'm not after saving the world. I don't think for one minute that these electric bikes are, you know, there's no carbon footprint whatsoever. You know, if you want to save the world, don't do any sport. But the main issue that we face with speedway is the noise, like you said, and especially for the kids. You know, the kids just want to ride and ride and ride. Houses are being built more closer to stadiums than ever before. There's always a threat with that. Let's have tracks where the kids can ride. You know, we could set up speedway tracks here, there and everywhere for the youth to ride, and like you said, maybe some adults, and you could ride till, like you said, 3 o'clock in the morning if you fancied it. And no one's going to know, because they just don't make that same noise that the complaints that we receive. We love the noise. Like I say, I'm a noise lover. But unfortunately, Karen that eats a tea 2 miles down the road doesn't like the noise.
Another thing that sort of came to mind, you know, with speedway, as you said, that there's no noise, but there's no vibration. The amount of speedway riders who've got vibration white finger, you know, is quite high. You know, and so from a health point of view, surely for those riders going out and doing practice, at least, you know, it would maybe have benefits there, because a lot of them do suffer with, you know, issues with their hands, with their fingers. I know Richie Worrell is one. You know, he was there at King's Lynn showing me his fingers on the grand final.
Oh yeah,
but they were white. You know, and that was, he said, oh, you know, it really fires up in cold weather, and that's from riding the bike over years and years. And these are the things that you don't see, but a lot of speedway riders do suffer from that.
Yeah, I'm one myself, Ian. I hate this time of year. And even in the speedway season, the start and the end, where it gets a bit chillier, you get your white finger. And again, it's down to the vibration. Obviously, for me, I don't know if it's speedway, motocross, it's just constant vibrations on your hands, where, like I said, as a health point of view, you know, it is a serious matter, and it does hurt as a rider to have this white finger. And again, it's just another positive that the electric bike has over the engine. Other than making a sound and a smell, it'll be every positive aspect that an engine has, whether it be servicing, running costs, anything like that. The electric comes out trumps, other than it doesn't smell or make a noise.
Another positive for electric speedway bikes would be how simple they are to look after. And obviously this is a big plus for, again, for youngsters, because often it's left to the parents to sort the bikes out, and it can take many hours to prepare a speedway bike, you know, wash them, strip them down, put it back together again, even after one ride. Whereas with an electric speedway bike, you can jet wash it down and pretty much stick it back in the garage and then you're done. And that's a big, big difference, isn't it? And it's something I know that you yourself sort of found when you took speedway on, that you didn't realise how much work has to go in to sort of look after a speedway bike and keep it in good nick.
Exactly that, Ian. You know, it takes me on average 5 to 6 hours to prep prep my bike. Now I know what I'm doing. Like you said, when I first came to the sport, I remember just jet washing it, coming to Scunthorpe the next week and wondering why it wouldn't start. But now I know, because again, there's no manuals or anything like that for these speedway bikes or what to do. It'll take me around 5 to 6 hours. And you've got to remember, a lot of parents now are working hard. You know, everyone works till 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night. The last thing a parent might be able to do is go in the garage for 3, 4 hours a night to fix the bike so little Johnny can go and race. Would they that, or would they think, you know what, actually, the electric bike, we give it a wash, we lube the chain, we put it on charge, that's it. There's no oil change, clutch plates, carburetor cleaning, air filter cleaning, or everything that comes, ignition cleaning, everything that comes with a speedway bike has just disappeared with the charging of a battery.
Which is pretty revolutionary, really, and I think a lot of parents will be happy about that. And we're going to speak to Seth Norman in a moment, who's a young up-and-coming rider, and he's going to be taking one of these bikes out for a spin at the weekend. And just to make that point, really, for anybody worrying that electric bikes are coming for the 500cc's, they're a long way off the same power as a 500cc, aren't they? And this is very much aimed at like the 125 category. They're about on par with that at the moment, and that's where you see it, you know, being the biggest use really for upcoming riders.
It is, yeah. They will actually go up to around 200cc, that they believe the equivalent of. And I think they're after riding it, I think they're not far off the mark. Again, the beauty with these engines is you could have that engine at 8 years old, say restrict it to an 80cc or 100cc, 125. With a click of an app button, you can adjust that engine's power range. So you could give a child an engine at 8 years old, and that could potentially last him all the way up to 14 by just adjusting the engine to his ability. Again, it makes it really fair for other kids as well. I hear a lot at the moment with these British youths that he's got a faster engine than me, he's got more money, he's put this into that. Whereas with the electric, it's actually the fairest playing ground going because of literally a Bluetooth connection. I can find out if you're cheating or if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, and it'll be a very fair playing ground.
Well, one person who's going to be giving this a go at the weekend is one of the British youth riders, one of the up-and-comers, currently on the 125s. Seth Norman joins us now. Hi, Seth, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good to have you on. Right, just to remind us, first of all, how old are you, Seth?
I'm 12 years old.
Right, 12 years old, and making your way through the ranks of Speedway. And this weekend, you're going to be one of those riding the electric bikes. Are you excited for that?
Yeah, I'm buzzing to. Yeah, really excited.
Now, the 125s and the Youth Series is where it all begins for pretty much every rider. It's certainly the British system. And you're looking to follow in the footsteps of the likes of Adam Ellis or Tom Brennan or Leon Flint. How has it gone for you over the last season then in the 125 class for you?
Well, it's gone well. I placed fourth, I think, in the British Youth, and I won one round, so I'd say quite a good season.
I'd say pretty good season as well, and you know, you're still relatively young, of course, and there's quite a lot of talent, though, in that 125 class, and I think making a step up to the 250s, so it was a tricky year last year.
Yeah, there is quite a few good people.
Right, onto the e-bikes then. We've been talking about some of the benefits of that. What happens with your bikes at the moment, your regular speedway bikes? They need a lot of work, don't they, Seth? Who does all the dirty work then, cleaning the bikes and that?
Oh, normally my dad does all that.
And it is hard work, isn't it? It takes a long time to sort the bikes out. How long does your dad spend normally sorting your bikes out, getting you ready for your meetings and so on? How long per meeting?
4 hours.
And that's quite a long time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, if you tell your dad that electric bikes, they just need a jet wash down and that's pretty much it, stick them in the shed ready for the next meeting, he would be pretty happy with that development, at least, I guess, would he?
Yeah, I think he'd be buzzing, yeah, he'd be well happy.
I bet he would. And this event coming up then, this coming weekend at the time of recording this, the 4th and 5th of March, it's happening at Scunthorpe. Of course, you're racing the electric bikes on the Sunday, but you're also getting a bit of tuition on the Saturday as well that's been organised. And Richie Worrell, as Paul was telling us, is going to be there. Richie, a good man to learn from. He's been there, seen it and done it.
Yeah, I know Richie because I'm mascot of Leicester as well.
Of course, yeah. All right, so it's a big, massive year for Leicester coming up. And you've already been busy on the bike too. You were part of the GB youth trip over to France, weren't you? And there you were learning with Chris Harris as well. So it's been a big start to the year.
Yeah, it was a really good experience for me. I really enjoyed the track as well. Yeah, the weather was good. And it was like quite cold in the mornings and it warmed up a bit.
And so that was on the regular bikes. Looking forward to riding on electric bikes this weekend. The worry, you know, some people will say it's not the same as a normal bike. The smell, the noise is something they'd miss. Where do you think, what do you think about electric bikes and, you know, how different they are going to be from that point of view?
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't know how I feel if electric speedo sort of like took over. But it'd be really cool to see it like come quite hot in Britain.
Yeah, let's see how it goes. And you're going to be one of the first to give it a try over here at Scunthorpe this weekend. So good luck with it. And we can't wait to see the results, Seth.
Do I get a hat when I'm riding? Does that include an experience?
He's got you there, Paul, on the merch.
We can get you a hat.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
See you later, Seth.
Cheers, Seth. And all the best for this season as well. And all the best for this coming weekend at the time of releasing this episode. Heading into March. March, of course, the start of the Speedway season. And maybe start it with some electric Speedway. Go down and take a gander at Scunthorpe. What's the details again, Paul?
Yeah, 11 o'clock, the racing starts. So, like you said, you've got the 125s. For those methanol people that absolutely need it, it's the 500s are there as well, so you'll have the up and coming 500 riders. So it'll be a fantastic day just to come down. It's all free, there's no payment needed. Come down, get a brew, watch some good racing, watch the future potentially, and make your mind up about the e-racing while you're there, and let us know.
So there you go, a bit of free Speedway if you can make it. Scunthorpe on the 5th, Sunday the 5th of March. Check out a bit of e-Speedway. They're going to be racing alongside the 125 petrol bikes as well, just to see how they go side by side, and some other Speedway practicing going on as well. So go down and have a look. Get yourself in the mood for the upcoming season. Right, coming up in the next part of Humans of Speedway, having another longer chat with Paul about his own Speedway career, and we'll also discover how his dream Speedway meeting will look as well before the end of this on Humans of Speedway.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Humans of Speedway, and my guest in this episode is Paul Bowen, who you may well know from a variety of different areas, either as a Speedway rider. He's ridden for the Bellevue Colts in the National League. He's also one of the presenters on BSN, the British Speedway Network. He's got his own YouTube channel, and he also is involved in the pie industry as well with his family business, Bowen Pies. So lots to talk about. But Paul, for you, you were saying earlier that really you're just a fan of bikes, all sorts of bikes. But how was it then that you came into Speedway? What was your route into the sport as such?
Personally, for me, I was watching it, the reruns on Eurosport. I was into road racing at the time, so I'd rode a 600cc road bike. I found it incredibly expensive, and I'd sold it, and I had a bit of money burning a hole in my pocket. And I was watching Ty, and I just thought, to be honest, like, I thought, flipping it, he looked cool. He does look cool. And I was seeing him sliding the bike, and it was just one of them moments. I had a beer or whatever and thought, right, I'll see what Speedway bikes are for sale and how much they are. And lo and behold, the few days later, I had one in my garage.
So you just went on eBay and bought a Speedway bike, having seen it a couple of pints in. That's me. Get me the bike. Right.
Yeah, that's me. Get me the bike. And then I remember going, how do you ride it? And I remember messaging, you know, trying to look about. Again, for a new Speedway rider, not knowing anything about the sport, I didn't know where to start. And it's funny how, like, I'm almost doing a circle here with Richard. Richard, at the Scunthorpe amateur meetings, was my first point of contact. And I said, hi, can I come and practice? And he was like, oh, I've got a race meeting on this weekend. You can ride in the novice class. I thought, oh, okay. Like, I never rode a bike before. Thought, right, yeah, I'll go in the novice class. I remember that day, turned up. I had to get some methanol off someone because I didn't have any methanol, because I didn't even know what methanol was. I thought, what do you mean you put methanol in it? I remember going to the tape for my first ever go on a Speedway, not as well as my first race. It was my first ever go. And I remember coming to the tapes and they didn't know how to stop it. And I just went straight through his tapes. Right. So there was a brand new Speedway rider here. He's just gone through his tapes. I went on the grass, didn't know what to do. And I think everyone was laughing at me at this point. But by the end of the day, I started to do all right. And I actually ended up winning the novice class. So, and again, it was the Speedway family. Once you get in it, people are like, oh, where you come from? What you done? You know, come and ride here, or we've got a practice here. And once you're in it, it's such a great family. We just need to invite more people in it. And like I said, that's where I came in it, really. And that's why I'm still in it, because Speedway as a family is just amazing.
It is, obviously riders are rivals and fans can be rivals, but ultimately everybody's helping each other out and wanting the best for the sport. And you say there is a big family feeling around the sport in general. Bearing in mind that your first ride on a Speedway bike was in fact your first race, how did you learn the techniques then of Speedway, of sliding the bike and all those sort of things that are specific to Speedway that you wouldn't find in, you know, say motocross or what have you? How did you learn Speedway and the craft?
Yeah, I think, again, like the first one was a very sort of self-taught kind of thing. And then it was actually up at the old North Side. Carl Armstrong actually got in touch with me, at which, again, I've got some good roots at Workington. You know, they said, come up here, we'll teach you a little bit, we'll show you how to ride, we'll spend a bit of time with you. And it was all free. The practice day obviously cost, but like the teaching and everything like that, everybody would give me pointers. And again, the Speedway family, people want you to improve, and, you know, they give out tips for free. I do actually think Speedway's missing a trip with not doing any lessons as such, like actual organised lessons. Bellevue Experience Day, that's the only sort of one I've been to where you actually get studied on your riding. I know the Young Lions do a lot, but obviously I'm an old dog, so I didn't get the Young Lions experience. But I just sort of learnt as I went along and picked up tips, and I think everyone's been great in helping me.
You've got to know somebody in Speedway more often than not, haven't you, though, who's on the inside of it to really get you in there and show you what you need to do. And that's possibly one of the things that Speedway needs to source over the years, because everybody who takes Speedway up, it's either a family member introduces them or they've already got people doing the sport. And you've got people like Wayne Carter who do a great job at Scunthorpe bringing riders through, Duns, Northside, Buxton as well with Ride and Skid It, provide opportunities for people to take it up. Just some of them, apologies if there's more, but those are the ways in. But you've really got to know people or look for it to get yourself into that Speedway circle, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly that, which is why I've kind of gone about it with the e-Speedway, is trying to make it accessible, because I personally think at current, Speedway isn't accessible. Like you said, who do you ring? What do you do to actually start to get into Speedway? You know, what manual do you read? What book do you go to? What club do you sign with? All of this kind of stuff, there's not an actual way of how to get into Speedway. I think, to be fair, last year when they had the new website, they have put a Try Speedway button on there, and there is a link to go and have a go on it. So that's good. But I think they really are missing a trick by not inviting more people to have a go at Speedway. Especially, I know people say it is expensive, isn't it? It is an expensive sport. However, as a term of motorsport, it's one of the cheapest motorsports I think you can do.
And we're getting new tracks coming back into Speedway, although we are losing some, of course, but the newer tracks coming in do seem to have some sort of consideration for training up youngsters where possible. And we've seen that over the last few years with, you know, like Redcar, which I know is not a brand new track, but they do a lot of youth development. Scunthorpe is another track that's regularly putting training sessions on. And now with Northside at Workington coming back, obviously they've converted their training track into a full-size track now, but they are putting another training track back in. So that's another facility coming back on the scene for kids in that area to go along, and probably further afield to go along to as well.
Yeah. Again, you know, as many practice tracks as we can get would be absolutely ideal. So we've got more places for kids to practice. Like you said, Workington have done an absolutely fantastic job. I really can't wait. I've messaged him a few times. Can I come up and have a sneaky go? And we're nearly there, because I'd love to do a little vlog there myself. I even put my name forward for riding there for this season, because again, I've got a lot of heartstrings with Workington, and it's a fantastic little setup there. What they've done to the track, absolutely amazing, and every credit goes to the Workington team up there. And like you said, I can't wait to get up there, whether I'll be on a bike or with you with the BSN.
Reading between the lines there, do I detect a hint that you may be making or considering making a comeback on the bike in a competitive capacity in the National League at some point?
I'm thinking about it, Ian. I am thinking about it. There's a few talks going on. I am 34 this year, so I'm heading towards the end. Although when you actually look at quite a lot, when you actually look at a lot of riders, actually they are now in the, you know, riders are riding longer. I think I just kind of looked at Greg Hancock for an excuse and thought he was riding till, what, 45? Was he? 40? Was he 45? So in that case, I've still got years left in the tank. It does take a lot out of you, a Speedway season, with the bikes, the travelling. Like you said as well, I have a business to run, and it is hard, but I did miss not riding last year. I will say that. I really did miss the buzz of not racing.
The National League is a huge melting pot, isn't it, of all areas of Speedway. You've got the kids who are just old enough to go racing the 500s, you know, in a league, the 15-year-olds getting out there, but then you've got experienced riders in that league as well, and so you get to mix it with both ends of the spectrum, really, and it produces some really exciting and competitive racing, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I love the National League. Like I said, that your skill level, I think it's quite fair in the National League that the winners, you know, you can get closer to them each week. It's great to race against, like I say, Adam Royden and everyone like that. The 15-year-olds, not so much, because they haven't got work tomorrow. So I think the mentality is a little bit different there. But that's who the National League for me is aimed at, is aimed at the youth. I'm just lucky that there's still a potential spot there for me to come in and have a go. I love racing the National League, and it's absolutely, and it's, well, I think what people need to remember is it's actually for racing. It showcases some of the best racing going, I think. Very little do you see follow the leader like you do sometimes in the Premiership, because the talent is so close. It's very hard to pass, whereas with the National League, you've got quite some riders that are a bit faster or some riders that are a bit edgier. And like me, you know, you're bound to see a crash at some point. So, it's a really good league match to watch.
And you know, the quality is definitely there. And these are all really, you know, largely under 21 riders mainly, but a few experienced hands. Adam Roynan is in the National League this year once again. Lee Complin is another experienced name that people will know is going to be racing in that league also. So you get all sorts of levels of talent, and it usually, as I say, does lead to some close racing, sometimes a bit of chaos, but certainly never dull.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, you know, the racing can almost be better because the skills, obviously, in the Premiership, that they're so tight in talent, you know, they're all within milliseconds of each other. Whereas when you come to sort of our level, we're only around, usually around 2 to 3 seconds a race meeting off sort of the very top guys. So it's still incredibly fast. It's just not as, you know, probably maybe we're not as consistent or whatever, but the actual meeting plays for such good racing because you've got a lot broader talent difference. So you only want a rider that's maybe not as good to get a really good start, whereas someone that is good gets a terrible start, and you can see him come from fourth to first or fourth to second, and then you'll see one come from first to third and vice versa. I guaranteed if you did it on a statistic in the National League, there will be more passing than in the Premiership and the Championship.
And you've been involved in a few duels in your time in the National League over the last few years or so. So what races do you personally look back on and think that, you know, I enjoyed that when you come back into the pits?
There's quite a few, actually. I really enjoyed me race with Greg Blur, because I did wind him up telling him I was going to hand him out tour guides, and he actually beat me. So it was kind of egg on my face with that one. I outgated young Kyle Bickley twice. He did pass me, but it was really good to sort of hang with Kyle, because I think Kyle's a really good rider. And if you watch back on one of my, I think the YouTubes, we had a really good battle with Tom Spencer from Leicester. You know, a really good rider, very similar speed to myself, and we just had some really good close racing. And even though I only got second, it was probably my favourite race to date, just because of the pass. We must have passed each other about four times.
And the National Speedway Stadium is a big place, and obviously great racing, but it's the amount of space, the amount of lines there are, and you don't realise how big that track is until you stand on it. Because we went there with BSN last season, and you stood there and you're thinking, this is pretty big, really.
Oh, it's massive, you know. I am very spoiled to ride a track such as Bellevue. It's, you know, it is the creme de la creme. I really wish all speedway tracks would take a leaf out of the book and just copy their track, or very, you know, the grading that goes on, the preparation that goes on. It's just absolutely second to none, and it's just lovely, which is why I just love riding there, really.
How do you feel when you're going out racing, though? Because, as we mentioned, you are facing up to a whole spectrum of talent and experience. And among those are some of the exciting young talents that are coming flying through the ranks. You're talking about, you know, the Thompson twins, or, you know, Nathan Ablett, or maybe a couple of years ago, Leon Flint or Tom Brennan, you know, when they were racing in that league. So you're coming up against some serious hitters here who've got big ambitions as well.
Yeah, no, I don't really get nervous once I'm out. I get more nervous when I'm in the pits. But no, I, you know, if one of them passes me, you know, I think, well, I'll just, you know, stick with them. Again, it's great to see people, like you said, Dan Thompson and everybody like that, progressing. And again, it's good to probably maybe sit there in 5 years' time when he's doing the Grand Prix or the Premiership to say, hey, I've raced him. So I can say I've at least lined up against him.
And they're saying the same about you, to be fair, I would have thought. You are known as well for doing the occasional video, sometimes of your adventures, wherever they may be, but also sometimes with your opinions on the sport and how best to progress it. Obviously, the electric speedway stuff is one part of that, but you've had your say on various other things as well. You're not scared to put your head above the parapet, but you, unlike some, you do it constructively, and you always try and back up your argument as, you know, as much as you can. It's never just like a load of thoughts that come out there. You have reasoning to it. And so for that reason, I think people might not like it, but they'll sit up and listen to what you got to say anyway.
Yeah, I love doing my little, like I say, doing my blogs and putting things out there. And I try and put things out there in a methodical way, not just a moan or like a shouting opinion. I try and put a bit of method with my madness. And it's great to see some people agree with it. It's great to see some people disagree with it and their comments. And like I said, I'm trying to get my face out there within Speedway, because in years to come, and it will, someone will have to take over Speedway. And I'm hoping it'll probably be somebody like myself that may be the next Rob Godfrey, and sort of steer Speedway into the right sort of places. And I do enjoy putting myself out there, whether it's good, bad. I can take all the bad comments you throw at me. Kill people with kindness is often my favourite one. It's good to have the debate. And I think people forget, even, you know, going back to me Speedway, when you comment your bad comment, it actually feeds me organically for things like reach and everything like that. So feel free to comment away. And I'll happily give you a lovely response back.
Honestly, it does just bounce off you. I think there'd be a lot of people who would have, you know, maybe some, well, they wouldn't like it. They don't read the comments. But whereas you absolutely just feed off the comments. there's very little, I think, yes, you could throw at Paul that would actually get him down. He would be like, he just laughs at it. When I think it's a great attitude to have.
Yeah.
But as well, you know, on a serious point, you know, you did this video where you were talking about the whole real structure of Speedway and how maybe it should operate. And obviously, it's a big thing to change overnight. And, you know, Speedway is not something you can change overnight because of the way clubs run and, you know, how it's funded. And there's so many other things to factor in. But you did do this presentation about, you know, the gap between the different leagues. And whilst it's not an easy one to fix, at least your video that you did, I believe, was actually watched by the promoters at one of the meetings. So it was noted. You know, so you are making, as I say, people are thinking about what you've had to say. It might not be possible to do everything that you're implementing there and then in a video, but maybe even if a little bit of it gets through, or at least people think about it, at least, as I say, it's a conversation that's been had. And if the best decision is to carry on as we are, then, well, that's the decision. But at least you know, as you say, you put your point across in a good way, people will take notice rather than going on there and saying everything's rubbish, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'll always try and put a point across with some backing behind it, whether it be factual or anything like that. And like you said, Ian, you can't, you know, I wasn't for 1 minute expecting to put, say, that video out with the structure, and then, you know, next season it all just changes. What I just want to make people aware of, that if they carry on the way they're going, you will end up where I was at. And to be honest, I think if you even go back to the video that I did, and I explained that you'll get riders that are at the top of the National League but at the bottom of the Championship quitting or not getting very far, and then it drops down to, say, the next level rider in the National League and struggling further in the Championship, you will have seen a few riders do that last year. I'm not going to name any names, but you will have seen riders that really did struggle and probably sent them backwards in Speedway. So I just like to get things out there so people know what I've said, and I've done it in the right way. I've not been nasty, or I certainly try never to be nasty, but I just try to give people facts. Go and watch the video, and I think 90% will actually agree. I had a few people disagree with, oh, well, you've got the numbers wrong and you've got this wrong. Well, you know, this is what people have got to understand. I've not took it, you know, word for word or number for number. But what I have done is give Speedway a problem and a solution to fix it. It's just up to you if you want to listen and follow it through.
And you've been on First Dates Hotel as well, which not many Speedway riders have, but you certainly have been on there.
No, yeah, I say I've been on, like I say, I love to get myself out there. Like I say, I've done the First Dates. I've also done a viral video I think a lot of people have seen. And even at the moment, I'm in talks with a very well-known BBC channel. You've actually tried to ring me in this podcast, but that's not confirmed yet. So all I'll say is you never know what you might see me in the future.
We were with BSN. We did a fixture at Poole, and we stayed in a hotel room, and it was myself, Martin, and Ben Duffel. So we were in this hotel room. To add to the bizarreness of this situation, the hotel room was themed around the legendary comedian Ken Dodd. So it was actually called the Ken Dodd Suite in this hotel in Bournemouth. So we get into the Ken Dodd Suite, which has got pictures of Ken Dodd around it. We're holding his feather duster and his Diddy Men and stuff like that. Put the TV on and... I think it was Channel 4, put Channel 4 on, and I absolutely, jest you not, right, switch the TV on, the TV comes on, boom, there he is on the screen, Paul Bowen on First Dates rerun. And it's like, no way, what was the chances?
Just can't get away from me, and can't get away from me.
There he was. Paul Bowen, my guest on Humans of Speedway in this episode, and in the next part, so we're going to have a look at Paul's dream Speedway meeting, as we do with all of our guests, really, finding out their dream track, the dream stadium, their all-time 1-7, what rule they would change, and much more besides. That's all on the way in the next part of Humans of Speedway.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to Humans of Speedway. I'm Ian Brannan. My guest in this episode is Paul Bowen, who is a name you might know if you're a fan of the Bellevue Colts, but also from BSN. He's got his own blogs, and you might even have seen him on First Dates. So there's a few ways you might have seen him. Don't forget to check out some of our previous episodes. The recent ones include a chat with Justin Sedgman, who's going to be heading for Birmingham and Leicester in British Speedway in 2023. Dave Rowe, one of the voices of Eurosport Speedway TV coverage, and also a journalist with the Speedway Star, in fact running the British Speedway press office as well these days, so a very, very busy man. So hear him talk about Speedway. I had some lovely feedback about that one in particular, actually. Gary Flint and Leon Flint, father and son, Berwick Bandits team manager and co-promoter, and his son, the British under 21 and British under 19 champion Leon. And we spoke with Adam Roynan recently as well. Check those out. Right now it's all about Paul Bowen. We're going to hear about your dream Speedway meeting, Paul. You're still a relative newcomer, though, aren't you? It's about, what, 10 years or less than 10 years since you got your bike?
Yes, yeah, less than 10, yeah. It must be, I think it was eight. I had a Facebook memory, it was 8 or 9 years ago that I actually bought the bike.
And can you remember who you bought the bike from? You know, who owned it before you did?
I think it was Nathan Stoneman. So it was, and he's still riding.
Yeah, he is.
So
I saw his bike being used to pop a what do they call it? A baby.
Oh, it was a baby shower.
Shower thing, wasn't baby, it?
Gender reveal.
Gender reveal. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. We're down with the kids here.
That's it. Yeah, gender reveal at Oxford, and this was the other day, and they're revving the Speedway bike, and the power from the heat from the exhaust popped the balloon, and poof, in the exhaust fumes came out pink smoke. So they knew it was a girl, and I think that was Nathan Stoneman's bike.
Yeah, it was. So congratulations, Nathan.
was it Nathan Stoneman's child, or was it who?
Well, it was his bike, so I hope so.
I don't know. I don't know if he's renting
his bike. Was it not
out.
Him? Was it him?
I don't know.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
I hope Nathan Stoneman's missus ain't listening to this. If it's not,
potentially. Yeah. Okay, but you bought the bike, you think, from Nathan Stoneman. Okay. So, anyway, in this, we're going to create your dream Speedway meeting. You've had enough experience to know what does and doesn't make a good Speedway meeting. So the first question we always ask is about the track. So this is just purely for racing. It doesn't matter where the track is. It doesn't matter how ropey the stadium it's in might be, even if there is a stadium. or not. But where would you choose for just for racing, your favourite track?
It's got to be Bellevue. I know I go on about it a lot, but it has to be Bellevue.
And for reasons we've talked about, I guess it's a big old circuit, great for racing, a lot of room, and always nicely prepared, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. It's just like I said, the stadium feel, the track feel, the racing it provides. Again, it just allows for so much racing. I just absolutely love it. Every time I go, it feels like the first time, other than the seats are worn a little bit.
If we were going to play, perhaps devil's advocate, one of the reasons that there are, people keep going about having a Grand Prix and so on at Bellevue, which may happen, in the not too distant future, I don't know. But one of the criticisms or one of the problems with that is that it's not big enough in terms of seating, space for attendance. They want, 12,000 minimum, as a permanent kind of attendance capacity, which Bellevue struggles with. And yes, they can do it with the temporary seating, but it means you've got to put all that scaffolding up and take it down every time and blah blah. So yes, it can be done. If you were going to move,
and then it might rain
yeah. So if you were going to move the track and we're going to put it into a stadium that potentially could accommodate that, just for the dream scenario, which stadium would you put that track in?
You'd have to have it in Wembley, wouldn't you? I think it'd have to be definitely Wembley. Although I should assume they'd be allowed to run it, but there's actually a swimming pool underneath Wembley Stadium. Did you know that?
Is there?
Yeah.
I didn't know
so
that.
There's a false floor and there's a swimming pool underneath it. Google it. I was well impressed.
Is there?
Yeah.
Why have we never seen it? Why have they never used it?
I don't know, but it's underneath.
Who uses this private swimming pool?
I don't know. No, that's what I mean. It's just covered underneath it. Apparently, there is a swimming pool.
Wow. Okay.
Facts maybe for you just, on Human of Speedway.
Yeah, you heard it here first with Paul Bowen's curveball about the hidden swimming pool underneath Wembley Stadium. Right. I will Google that. Let's have a look at your all-time 1-7 then. Who would make your dream team? If you're going to pick seven worldies, who we're going to have?
Right, we're going to have Nicky Pedersen, number one. Out and out, the best racer that's ever lived in my eyes. The guy, for me, although he was a villain, for me, he just brought so much to Speedway. And I think I just miss watching him. And again, he's kind of a rider I'd love to have like a lesson off, just because I just love his riding style. I love how he races a bike. I love how he is after the bike. I like how he's a little bit angry and a little bit of drama. Everything that a character should be, he was. And I think Speedway needs another one.
And of course, he's back, and you might be interviewing him very, very soon. So that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I hope so. Just if I am Ian, I might be a bit starstruck when I do, because he's probably one of my all time. Again, going for box office riding, got to be Bomber. Bomber for me, just as a rider, it's just mega to watch. I just don't think you can teach that kind of entertainment on a bike. So we'll have a bit of Bomber. Number three has got to be my man, Dan Bewley, just because he's sort of the new school of Speedway. And he's just, I think people have got to remember Dan is still so very new to Speedway. He is still learning. He's still got a lot, he's still soaking it in like a sponge. For him, Speedway is a lot fresher than it will be for a lot of other riders. So the hunger that he's going to have to win is just going to be incredible. And I really do think that you will see Dan holding that trophy at some point as a Speedway World Champion.
And you've been doing some motocross and stuff, so you kind of know him a little bit personally as well, don't you, Dan? And kind of come from a similar place in respect of, making that move from motocross into Speedway. And obviously you're both ridden for Bellevue and what have you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, again, like I say, you've got to remember with Dan, and I don't think he'll mind me saying this, Dan hasn't come from a money background. I remember him rocking up just with, his dad was just in his little red van You know, if you look at his early days, he's riding in an old suit, a borrowed suit. I think it was like Mark Hitchin or something like that. He was riding around in that. He had borrowed covers for a while. And he's just really chipped away. He's very humble. Do you know what I mean? He knows where he's come from, and he's just very grateful to be in the sport. He's, again, speaking with him. He's not, you know, after Cardiff. So he went out and won the GP. He was out in walkabout, just quietly having a drink. Do you know what I mean? Like as if he'd just been to watch himself. Never mind. You know, I remember Ty came in and everyone was screaming and shouting, and I think Dan just came in with his head down and just started like having a bit of go on the dance floor. It was just like a normal night. He's so normal and with it. He's probably one of the best, you know, personalities of Speedway, I think, going. He's such a good lad, and like I say, it's nice that I do, you know him personally as well, and we've been motocrossing and everything like that, and he's just so humble and appreciated of where he is, and he just enjoys riding his bike. That's all he cares about, is riding, and that's what he's doing for a living, and that's what he loves.
Yeah, it was a bizarre queue for walkabout, because I was did I meet you in there? I think I met you in there, but I was in the queue behind, not far behind Dan Bewley, but there was all sorts of people in that queue at that time. It must have been about 10 o'clock or something that everybody decided we're going to go walkabout, and you had like Dan Bewley in the queue, like Paco Castagna, and Danny Ford. There was like someone else, maybe one of the Cook brothers from Poole. It was just like there's half the Championship and the Premiership in this queue right now. It was a bizarre sight. And then fast forward a couple of hours, the same people on the dance floor. It was great.
So that was number three. So number four, we'll move on to our British World Champion is Ty. Obviously, Ty got me into Speedway. He's been a really good rider for me to watch and to learn from. He's just kind of a bit of a cool dude, isn't he? If we're being honest, his tattoos and his piercings and his rock and roll style. You can't not have Ty in your team. Number five, I'll go for Max Frick. Just again, really nice lad. Love his riding style. Very calm in the pits. He just has fun. Rides the motocross. No temper tantrums. Just gets on with his work. He's happy as Larry. And again, he's just a really good rider to watch.
Unusual this year with him making a move to Leicester as well, so it'd be interesting to see how he goes there with departing, I think at least on loan, but departing Bellevue for a season at least.
Yeah, I was quite surprised about Leicester for Max, because I know he has a lot to do with Bellevue and Mark and his connections, but I believe when I spoke to him it was either something to do with the commuting or the well, it won't be the day, will it? Because the days are the same. But I think it was something to do with his other career, with his other clubs, that he was better off at Leicester, apparently. I think he'll do well round Leicester. I think he'll do well round anywhere, really. He's won a Grand Prix, hasn't he? So he knows how to ride a bike.
He certainly does. Yes, and certainly going to be a handy addition with the likes of Bomber and. The rest of the time, a fairly solid-looking team for Leicester in itself. So anyway, that's Max Frick. You got a couple more to go, so who else?
Number six, we'll go for Bartos, just because he's the man, isn't he? No one hangs off a bike like him. The leg swinging, the sitting on the rear mud guard, again, just a totally different riding style to everybody else. Fantastic racer to watch, and that's why he's the world champ.
Okay, Bartosz Szmarszlik then, what, at reserve? It's not bad. And number seven then, who we got?
Yeah, he's not done so well.
Seven,
I'll just give a bit of a Well, we've got another rider here at reserve because he's not rode for a little bit due to unfortunate circumstances. We'll have him ill. He's a fantastic rider, and I've been seeing some of the comments that are not great for the guy. You know, he's kind of been sucked in it. So a bit of a support for Emil there, and we'll have him at number seven.
Interesting to see Emil back in British Speedway. Obviously, people have got their opinion on it. I think largely the comments have been fairly positive. But from a Speedway point of view, purely Speedway point of view, fantastic to have one of the great riders of the modern era racing over here, of course. And no doubt there's going to be lots of people wanting to see him in action. And an interesting year ahead, I think, across the leagues. But that's your team anyway. You're 1-7. Great stuff. Next up then, who would be refereeing your meeting?
I'd have to have Craig Aykroyd, just because I serve Craig with his food business that he's got, and I buy a few things off him. Yeah, and also his dad, is it Paul, that does the Speedway Benevolent Fund. So really good little family there. I know him quite well. So yeah, I'd have to have Craig just to give him a shout out on this podcast.
Good stuff. Yeah, well, we'd like to get Craig on at some point as well. If you were going to introduce a rule or change a rule or do something about Speedway, just, I mean, this is right up your street because you're full of ideas. But what would you do to sort of improve a Speedway meeting, your Speedway meeting, if you had full control?
The first thing I would do, and it's really small, is I would change the riding order so that riders would go 1-7 in ability. So number one would be your best rider. Number two would be your second best. Three would be your third best, and so on and so forth till you got to seventh, which is like it is now. When you try and explain to someone that's new to Speedway the riding order, just watch the face. It's just, they just don't get it. So if you say, yeah, so the first rider, that's number one, that's the best. Yeah, he's the best. Yeah, so number two, no, he's not the best. He's not the second best, it's number five. Oh, but number seven is the worst, yeah, that's right. But then number four is better than, you know what I mean? And it's just so confusing. So yeah, that would be the first thing I'd change.
It's a good point. It does, yeah. And then not necessarily, yeah, between number four and number two, they might be as good as each other, but it sort of just depends on that month.
Yeah.
Number six might be number two next time you come.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, by all means, keep the race format exactly the same. So, you know, heat one would be, say, 1-6. Or one, yeah, would it be 1-6? Yeah, 1-6. And then, you know, heat two, you know, whatever, what would it be? Oh, sorry, no. So heat one would be 1-5. Heat two would be 6-7, and so on and so forth. I just think it would really make sense to new people in Speedway. And just, again, it's just another little thing that I think makes your people get into Speedway. Whereas if they come in, they see that, they go, I don't get this, and go home.
Okay, that's a good point. And if we're going to have like sort of virtual opposition for your team of all-stars, this would be an actual team that has existed at some point in the history of the sport, a great team. Which team would you love to see?
Well, although... Max was in the team. I'd have to have Bellevue from last year because it was the first time that they've won the league in a very long time. So to win the league, just, you know, it's got to be one of the best teams that has been going. So, yeah, it'd have to be Bellevue from last year. Including Lambert, whether you like the rule or not.
Well, there you go. Yeah, including Lambert. And that way Max Frick can ride for your team.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just go into that mucky rule book and we'll have Lambert in.
Well, cheers, Paul. It's been fantastic chatting with you as always, and thanks for speaking to us about your career, but also Electric Speedway, and good luck with that event and the electric charge, to coin a pun once again. And also good luck with everything that this season's got in store, including, of course, you'll be with BSN, so I'll see you there very, very soon, and potentially heading back on track. There's a sensational bit of news.
Who knows, Ian? Who knows?
Paul Bowen on Humans of Speedway.
Thanks very much, Ian.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget you can check out lots of previous episodes in this series from the start of 2023. Justin Sedgman, Dave Rowe from Eurosport, Gary Flint and Leon Flint, Adam Roynan, all previous recent episodes. We've also got a chat, it seems fairly recent, although it's a year ago now, Stuart Robson. Now, I was speaking to him prior to his farewell meeting, which was taking place at Redcar last year. Of course, that got cancelled, and they're rerunning it again this year. So you can listen back to that one if you haven't heard it yet, and just sort of change the dates in your mind, and you'll get an idea of what's going to be happening there. So kind of still relevant, even though it's a year old. Also recently, we spoke with Paul Aykroyd. Well, I say recently, it was last year. But talking about the Speedway Riders Benevolent Fund, again, something that happens every year. The Ben Fund meeting is back at King's Lynn in 2023. And speaking of King's Lynn, a former rider of theirs, Lewis Kerr, another rider that I spoke to in the last year. Tom Brennan, Jordan Jenkins, also David Howe, Chris Louie, Nikolai Clint, Paco Castagna, Chris Morton, Gary Havelock, Jeremy Doncaster, Kelvin Tatum, all names I've spoken to in the past on this podcast. Scroll back and enjoy plenty of the previous episodes, and we'll be back with more on the way in the next week or two here on Humans of Speedway.
Podcast Network.